Okay, this is March 31st, 1992, and talking with Wilma Zirk and Margaret Rexroad. And I want to ask you some questions about Sol Thompson. Were you raised in Sugar Grove, Wilma?
Mostly. I was born there and lived there for a number of years. And my father died when I was 8, and then we moved out to the country. On a farm.
That was out this way?
No, in the Franklin area.
In Franklin. do you have a rough idea of when Sol Thompson was born and when he died, his life span?
No. I don't know when he was born, but when we lived at Sugar Grove, he was living there. I think he worked... there was a Dr. Bowers who lived there, too, and I think he lived maybe in their home. And they had a store. He worked in the Kaiser store some and did a lot of painting. Mm-hmm. And he was musical. He played a trumpet.
Is that right?
He played a trumpet because he used to visit down my uncle's. I lived with my uncle and aunt for a few years. And they lived on a farm across the river, and he would come down there around the hill and stop off for an evening, and he would play his trumpet on the front porch, and you could just hear it resounding from all the hills.
Do you remember what kind of music he played? Was it popular tunes? Or?
No, not really.
You don't remember the,
no.
The music? Yeah. So what period of time are we talking about?
That would have been in the, let's see, in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't give you the exact year,
yeah.
But it would.
Mm-hmm.
And he also organized and had a band in Moorefield. The band building is still standing there, and he was the instructor, and they had a very good band.
Was it brass band?
Brass band, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
In Moorefield? No, what did you say?
Sugar Grove.
Sugar
did
Grove.
I say Moorefield?
Okay.
You're going to have to watch me.
Well, isn't the building that's the VFW building now?
That's the old band hall.
VFW Post Home was the band hall?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And when they had practice, they'd practice every week, and everybody would just come in to hear them play.
Uh-huh. And... am I correct that he was never married?
Never married.
Sol Thompson. Do you remember then when he died, or were you aware of when he died at all, or where he might be buried, or anything like that?
I think he must have died in the 20s, but I can't give the exact time. And I don't know whether he's buried at Sugar Grove. He may be buried in the cemetery up there on the hill at Sugar Grove. Because I remember when he was very ill, but that's about all I remember of it, because I wasn't too old then.
Right. I was told that, the one house that I saw that he had painted the interior, he had also painted the exterior with just regular, house
mm-hmm.
paint. So I guess he did all kinds of painting. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he would paint... houses, and he would also paint fancy designs.
That's
on the
right.
Insides of houses.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And he painted at least 3 churches, I think, that I've found so
mm-hmm.
far. You would know of any others?
No, I don't really.
Do you remember any incidents or funny stories about him? I was also told he was quite a character.
He was. I remember one night when he was down at my uncle's. He would walk back. It wasn't too far around the hill up to where he lived, but he had to go by the cemetery. And after that, he told us about it. He said, going home the other night, he said, I got up there, and he said, I just got to thinking, and I went in and walked around a little bit. He said, I see you're all here yet.
You never actually saw him at work painting when he
was... No. Not that I remember.
And this doctor that he stayed with, would his home have been painted by Thompson?
Probably. At Bill Barris' house?
That's a night. You should see that house.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of Victorian, has stained glass windows.
And
right in Sugar Grove.
And it's possible that he did paint that.
He has.
And that's Bill Ware lives there now?
Bill.
Bowers.
Bowers.
Bill Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Make a note of that. You know, in anywhere else in the area where Saul might have lived, it sounds like he moved around some, because I just, when he was over the other side of Moyers, he was painting a lot of houses over that.
Yes, but his home, I think, he made in Sugar Grove. Now, I think he came from Virginia, actually.
Uh-huh. Have any idea where?
I don't know. He had a brother lived in the Dayton area.
That was Dayton, Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Dayton is. Is that?
It's just across the Shenandoah
Mountain. Right outside of Harrisonburg.
Okay, so it's not very far from Sugar Grove.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Have any idea of anybody who would have information? What I'd really like to find is a picture of him. Do you think there's anybody who would possibly have a picture of him?
You know, Reba Hemlock might be able to tell him quite a bit about Saul.
Yeah.
Reba?
Hemlock.
Hemlock?
And they live in Sugar Grove.
They live right beside of Bill Bowers.
Uh-huh.
And she might be able to tell you where he was born and and when he died and where he's buried and all that.
Mm-hmm. Is she an older woman?
She's close 80, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And she was born and raised in Sugar Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Simmons.
Yeah.
She?
Mm-hmm. Okay, it'd be really nice to find a picture of him.
Well, she might be able to help you there.
Yeah. And Martha, you say your husband knew him.
He didn't know him, but when he painted the church at Fort Siverd, he stayed with, I guess it was his great uncle or something. He always called him Uncle Frank Wagner anyway. But that was the house that he stayed in up there that my brother-in-law lives in now, that has some of the painting in it.
He must have done a lot of that wood grain painting on doors, too, like it was in the church this morning, because almost all the houses that I've seen where he had painted, a lot of the doors were painted with that wood grain.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact,
I'll put on here that today is March 31st, 1992. I'm talking to Reba and
Walter
Hemlock. Okay. And Mike and I are just looking for information about Saul Thompson. He's taken me to several houses where Saul did his painting. And we're trying to find some information about him because I think that painting is real special. Some of those, you've probably been in a lot of the houses that he's painted on the inside. Well, when did you first know him or meet him?
I knew him all my life, till he died.
Uh-huh.
Because I was only a child when he came here, and he was, when we were children, he didn't make any difference what holiday came around. He went got candy and took it around and gave it to all us kids, and he was more or less like a Santa Claus for us. And he always treated us. It didn't make no difference. And then when I went away to, when I was getting ready to go to college, he helped me an awful lot to get into over Dayton, because he knew all about that over there. And and of course, I didn't have my parents weren't very rich, so we didn't have the money that I could go till he got me in over there that I could work my way in, through college. And he was just good to everybody. And I can tell you a little story about him. He said he used to tell us stories, and now I'm so old I forgot a lot of them, but I remember this one where he said he had a dream, and he dreamed that he was in an airplane. He was flying everywhere, and he fell out of bed. I remember that so well. And then a lot of times he loved to drink, and he'd be, I don't know, we never really noticed that us kids, because we just loved him anyway the way he was, but he seemed like one of the family. And then when I really don't know what he died from, I guess cirrhosis of the liver probably. But I know he had a silver plate in his head. I don't know what happened. I did know years ago what happened to him, but I can't remember now. But I know he had he always combed his hair down and with like a curl here in front over his, but he had a real low place there. He had a silver plate in his head. Seemed to me he said he got kicked by a horse or something, but I'm not sure about that. And then when he died, he always said, every time anybody tell him about his drinking, you know, that would kill him, he always said, well, at least when he dies, he'll be happy. And my mother always said, he's always said that, but she said she was with him when he died, and she says, believe me, he was not happy when he died. That he died, he was kind of a hard death, I guess. So then when I went to school and I'd come back here, and he always seemed to be help us out in any way he possibly could. And he did that, I guess, for all the kids around, everybody. Yes, he painted, done a lot of painting. I know that. He was a good painter. But
he's known more for his orchestras and stuff, or bands and stuff.
Then he had this band, they had a band. He had a band here. Wasn't a very big band, I guess, he had here, but they did a lot of singing and playing around in every place.
The VFW always.
Of course, mostly when I was away at school, I wasn't here.
Do you know the name of the band?
Just a local band, you know.
Was it a brass band? Or?
Right, yeah.
Brass and somebody told me Saul played the trumpet?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He played a trumpet.
He was good. Because when I was at CC camp, I come down here, I seen him. It's not that I didn't see him, but I went to the band hall. He used to call it the band hall. It was the VFW, but they called it the band hall. And all the local guys.
Well,
here, that's, they all
that was before the VFW had a, we had that was.
It was a bandstand before it was a VFW.
It was built for the band hall,
Now, so when Saul, I understand that Saul Thompson, he painted the outside of houses also? And he painted the insides and did all the fancy work on the inside?
He did that, too.
Do any of the houses here in town have that fancy...
Well, if they did, it's well, we painted.
Probably been painted over a lot of times. The only one I know. Did you stop down here at Bill's?
The fancy
house? The big house?
No.
Well, he lived there. See, he lived in that this white house right below the roof. That's where Saul lived.
Yeah, after that's been remodeled so many different times.
He lived in... There was a building set right on top of the bank, now right across from Bill's house. That was Dr. Barris's office. And after Dr. Barris died, then he lived in that till the fire. They had a big fire here at Sugar Grove, and everything burned down, and that burned. And then they built that white house, and he lived in that until he died.
Until Saul lived in... he lived in the big white house, the fence?
No, he didn't live there. He lived below the road in Dr. Barris's office after Dr. Barris died. He stayed there.
I see.
But he was up there an awful lot.
Now, he didn't have any family in the...
He didn't have any family except a brother that I know of. Now, he might have had a sister somewhere.
Do you know where his brother lived?
Well, the only one I knew was Ray, and he lived in Franklin for a long time, but he had lived, he had a daughter, Ray did. I guess he lived in Dayton, too, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then he, after Saul stayed over here, and his, I think Ray's wife died, and he had a daughter, but I don't know where she is. And
do you know what his daughter's name was?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. And somebody told me that Ray Thompson also painted.
Yeah, he painted. He was a painter, too.
And he painted the inside fancy stuff?
Well, I guess he painted the inside just the same as Saul, but I don't know if he did as fancy a painting as he did.
Ray did the artwork. He built, he painted bridges and houses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see, do you know when... Do you think Saul was born in Virginia or came from Dayton, Virginia?
He came from Virginia somewhere, yeah. Uh-huh. He came here from Dayton, Virginia. Now, whether he was born over there or not, I don't know.
And he died about what year?
Oh, golly.
About 32, I guess. There's a tombstone.
He died around 30.
It's on there.
Either from 32 to 34 sometime
uh-huh.
there.
Uh-huh.
No. Mm-mm. He died before then.
No, 34 house here.
He died, well, see, I graduated from college 31. He died, he must have, in 31, yeah, he must have died around 28 or 9.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably find out if I find his stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go up to the cemetery, yeah. It'll be on the stone, of
right.
course. I can't tell you exactly because I don't know, but I know it was while
you
I was...
You open the gate, you look back.
While I was still in school.
First or second, I think it's on this side or that side. I don't think it's on this side here. When you walk in, you face the gate back. It's on this side, the first row or two.
Uh-huh. Is that what he did for his income, painting?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Just house, all kinds of house painting.
Uh-huh. He did any kind of a job anybody asked him to do.
Uh-huh. He probably didn't make money at music then. That was just a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think
well,
he made it.
Well, people do it through here during
unless
the
he, unless when he had his band in Dayton that he might have made... I don't know for sure
yeah.
about that, but he
yeah.
never did hear.
Right. Did you ever see him actually painting anywhere? Like doing that fancy painting?
No, I never did because...
There was never any in this house?
Uh-huh. This house was built...
This house wasn't finished before he
this
died.
This house wasn't painted until after he died, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
No, he...
And you say he liked all the kids and always gave the kids.
Oh, he always he was like a Santa Claus to everybody. Easter, he was the Easter bunny at Easter,
mm-hmm.
and Christmas he was the Santa Claus, and if somebody had a birthday and he knew about it, he was
uh-huh.
there with some candy or something for you.
Uh-huh.
No, he loved the children. He really did.
Uh-huh. Did this is maybe getting off the subject, but did the people around here did they used to do bell snickling?
Oh yeah. Yes,
oh, yeah.
Did they?
It's another thing I'll
do. We used to bell snickle.
Tell me about that.
We used to go out bell snickling all the time. And when I was a kid, they had the great, Dr. Barris has always had wood. They had a great big stack of wood all along the, out there from this next house out. And we went, this was at Halloween, I'm sorry. This was Halloween. So we went, a bunch of us kids got together and we went down the road and we smeared the windows all up in the store and different things we were doing, you know. So when we come back, he was hid behind this big wood pile with a great big sheet over him, you know. And then he came out and tried to scare us kids, so we run, of course. But he
who,
done that all the time.
Who was that?
Saul was doing that. He'd scare us. He'd put a big sheet over him. And when we came home, because we lived here then too, but we didn't live in this house, and he would come out with this big sheet over him and we'd scare us to death.
Tell me about that bell snickling out. the younger generations don't know anything about that.
Well, we dress at in costumes, like, or whatever, old clothes or whatever. You'd just dress up and put a mask on. And then we'd go around to everybody's house, and we'd knock on the door. And, of course, most everybody let you in then because they didn't have to be afraid like they are today, you know, somebody coming in killing you or anything.
Or robbing you or something.
So everybody, we'd go to their house and they knock on the door and they'd let us in and talk a while and they'd guess who everybody was, you know, try to figure out who everybody was. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they'd give us cookies or something. If they had cider, they'd give us a glass of cider. And we had a lot of fun that way. It's no fun anymore, but it used to be. You can't go because you couldn't possibly trust anybody to come in today.
When people got married, we used to go.
And then they'd have bellings. You ever hear of that? Bellings? Well, if somebody got married, they'd wait till they thought they was in bed. And then they'd get a bunch of people together with cowbells and tin cans and pans, and they'd get up around the house and they'd keep pounding and making all this kind of noise and everything. And
grab the bride, put in
they'd keep
barrel.
That up till the bride and groom came outside. And if they didn't, they just kept it up. They didn't care if there was a bed or where they were.
They'd take the bride and put in her wheelbarrow.
Yeah,
and
then if they'd get them out, they'd put them in the... Put them in the wheelbarrow and take them for a ride in the wheelbarrow.
Did they call that anything else besides belling?
Oh,
is that a shivery or something? Or
they just call it belling around here. Uh-huh. And make a lot of noise and stuff like that. And, you know.
Now that getting back to that bell snickling. Now when would they do that? What days would they do
that? They did that. Oh, I'd say a week before Christmas, and maybe as much as 2 weeks before Christmas, they'd start doing that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was at Christmas time when they did that.
And do it maybe to New Year's or something?
Well, I can't remember whether we did it through New Year's or not.
The idea is just to have fun. You wouldn't play pranks on them.
No, people. No. Uh-huh. Not at Christmas time. We didn't do that. We just went around and wore masks and dressed up, and everybody would try to guess who you were.
Did you buy the masks or make the masks? Or?
Well, a lot of times we made them if we didn't have any. But you could buy them then.
What did you make them out of when you made them?
Well, sometimes you just put a sheet over your head, make eyes and that. And other times maybe maybe paint yourself up some way. Anything to disguise yourself. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. People wouldn't know who you were.
Uh-huh. The girls, little girls would be like old ladies or something, get those old bonnets on and crutches and stuff.
When did they stop doing that?
Well, it was
after everybody started moving in here and you couldn't trust people,
you
let
couldn't
people
trust
in
people
out.
People used to,
like what year roughly?
Huh?
What year do you think roughly?
I'd say, well, they probably stopped.
The late 30s, middle 30s or something, right? Did we come back
Well,
here?
See, I left, went to Cleveland. I got married in 34. And we went a couple of years after that, but I give about 36 or 38, somewhere along there, they stopped.
Mm-hmm. Too many outsiders come in there, too many cranks, you know. They're robbing people and getting in houses and burglarizing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They couldn't trust them no more, see.
See, but, when I was a kid, everybody you could trust anybody around here. People didn't steal. Yeah. They didn't break into your house.
See, 60 years.
I remember when I was a kid, we'd go away as much for a week and never lock our high doors.
Yeah.
But can't do that today.
We used to, if a stranger walked through here, they used to call them, bell stick, guys with the suitcases.
Drummers or something?
Oh, you mean salesmen? Traveling salesmen?
Yeah, what they call them.
Drummer?
Peddlers.
Peddlers, yeah. They start from Brandywine. They used to have a phone. We had a phone system right here. Bell system. I mean, switchboard here. And people used to call and say, look out there, so-and-so's coming up through here, some Greek or some Jew or something like that. Everybody knew who's going up down the road. Luther Simmons down here lived down halfway down the road there. And his brother had horses, and he had a stud horse or something like that. He was selling horses.
Sell horses, honey.
Some guy come down there wanted his horse, see? And he says, he left his horse there, he took the saddle off, put his horse, let me try your horse. He put the saddle on, he says, I'll try this horse, maybe I'll buy it, see? And he rode around a little bit like that, and all of a sudden Luther's brother says, gee, that guy ain't coming around or nothing, you know, something wrong somewhere. So he called down the line, he says, well, a guy on a horse just went by here. They called down where Harry Lee is now, he used to be a country store.
Brandywine.
Brandywine. They called there, and the sheriff was around there close, and the sheriff stopped and called right there. It was like...
Is there anything else you can think of about Saul Thompson that might be of interest?
I really can't. I know everything it is to know about Saul Thompson, I guess, but I just can't think.
Let me see if I can...
He was a wonderful guy.
Did he teach music too, or did he...
He taught those guys, right?
Yes,
these guys
he did.
Because Waller Mitchell and all those fellas, they blow their horns, and Ben Mitchell, they never went to school around to learn musical stuff, but he did teach
them around here.
Would any of those people that played music with Saul be still living?
Gee, I don't know.
Most of them are dead,
I guess.
Because they were all practically older than me.
Yeah.
And practically everybody that's older than me around here is dead.
Yeah. Like some guy last year, some girl come down here from Texas with a Cadillac. Somebody sent her down here. They said, well, I had a great uncle or something that was buried in Sugar Grove. His name is so-and-so. 100 years ago.
150.
150 years ago, and we were told to come down here. We know everything about it, you know.
I didn't know.
What the hell?
Never even heard of the man.
He's 75 years old. I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
But she had an uncle, Uncle Henry. He was 103 when he died, about 8 years ago.
Didn't you?
You know, all the Waggies have lived a long time around here, you know.
Her mother died, I had a great uncle. That when I was a kid, I don't remember too awful much about him, but I remember him because I was only a small kid then. And he had a brother. George was his name, and he had a brother, John. And I remember Uncle George and Uncle John used to come here an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle George was always told this story, and I heard it when I was only a little kid, and I'll remember it as long as I live. He said that he and Aunt Phoebe, must have been Aunt Phoebe Kaiser, that's who I figured it was plowing the garden, and they had one of these push plows, and he was pulling. He had a rope, I guess, and he was pulling the plow, and she was behind plowing, and he used to be one of those guys that ran quite a bit, too, and he was always cutting up with somebody. And she was yelling at him, he wasn't doing it right, and hollered at her. And he stopped and he turned around and he says, Aunt Phoebe, if Jesus Christ was here, he couldn't please you. She says, I know he could if he'd do what was right. I thought that was a funny story.
Yeah.
And I remembered it since I must have been about 3 or 4 years old. There used to be some funny people
Henry,
around.
Her uncle Henry, he was 103 when he died. He came off the porch, he's only about 102 years old. And he stopped, and Gordon Todd stopped and talked to him. He says, Uncle Henry, they all call him Uncle Henry, you know. Uncle Henry, what did contribute you to be over 100 years old? He says, Gordon, he was real sharp all the time, you know. He says, Gordon, don't tell nobody, but I was born 1880. You know, he says, don't tell nobody.
He was here when he was 100 years old. I know he came out here to see my mother. And he was trying to get going down over the porch, and I went out and I says, Uncle Henry, can I help you down? He says, no, he says, I think I can make it, but I don't know what I'm going to do when I get old.
He was about 102 then, wasn't he?
He was over 100 then, I don't know exactly.
And his Bible was real good too.